محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم دمان محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم the messenger محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم the prophet محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم the mercy to mankind محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم O Muhammad, we did not send you except as a mercy to mankind. حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي إلا الله نور محمد صلى الله لا إله إلا الله حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي إلا الله نور محمد صلى الله لا إله إلا الله حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي إلا الله نور محمد صلى الله لا إله إلا الله أو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد My dear brother and sister in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This will be, inshallah, session number 4 of the introduction of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was thinking, I already done the introduction, but today I do not believe I will feel comfortable if I pass this session without giving it to you and share it with you. Because I have a strong belief of the message I'm going to share it with you. And we have to know, history repeats itself. And the sunnah of Allah, meaning the custom and habit of Allah, the way Allah do things will never change. By this way, we will see what happened between the time of Ismail alayhi salam growing up and the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this period of time, what is the main lessons we can learn from it? And I can share with you right away. Number one lesson we learn from it, when we are ready to have sincerity and sadq, truthfulness. And we ready when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trial us. We surrender, we submit. With complete joy and belief is good for us, even if the situation we do not like. And this is real iman. And when we accept the qadr of Allah, the destiny, what ordained, and what will happen, and we take it with open-hearted. If we do that, meaning we pass. And after that, what will happen? Elevation. What kind of elevation? When Allah chooses you to be a part of something high. And this what happened to Hajar alayhi salam, when she obeyed her husband and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with all the trial she went through. And now the ultimate gift to Hajar is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept her son Ismail to be the seed of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last messenger and prophet. And here, for every female and every male, we have to ask ourselves, where is our kids? Where is the mother? Where is the father? Where is the people will be chosen to carry the blessing seed, the one Allah can accept to make it purely for Allah? And I will tell you, it's really scary, because our heart is so devoted to dunya, we're not ready to surrender and submit when the time comes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And also, always, the habit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a messenger, sends a message to the people, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and straight themselves and seek the guidance. And when people decided to drift from the guidance and start spreading dhulm, aggression and oppression, and start committing sins against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and start involving in a massive diseases and disobedience and arrogance, selfishness, greed, think about themselves, elevate themselves above others, tribes, nationality, and most of all, association with Allah. And most of all, do not thank Allah. What's the sunnah of Allah? Allah will take His bounty away. Allah will take His guidance away. And the torture of Allah will come. And we'll see that in the era just before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how Arabic Peninsula look alike. And in here, the lesson of that. I want to share it with you because it's my duty between me and Allah. If we look at ourselves today, today we claim we are a Muslim. But if we look at us, tribes, nation, status, meaning I call myself Egyptian, I call myself Indian, I call myself Saudi, I call myself such and such, and we feel superiority inside ourselves among each other. This is a disease of jahiliyyah, ignorance. When in a time of marriage, we look for money and a status instead of piety and closeness to Allah. When we spread dhulm, aggression among each other, when we do not deal with each other with justice, and if you ask me today, what call Muslim country today, we full of diseases more than anybody else on earth. We blame kuffar, 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 disbeliever or unbeliever, but we do not blame ourselves. The rich is getting more stingy, more greed, more aggression, and more oppressor against themselves, against their own people, against society, against mankind. Instead of spreading the wealth for the poor and needy and the message of Allah, they spread it of their own selfish greed for their own pleasure, the dunya, limited pleasure. By this way, if we look at us today, from big and young, rich and poor, learn it and not learn it, all of us, I believe, we are a criminal in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think we did the ritual, we did the worship, we fast, we pray, we do zikr, we read Quran, we study Arabic, we study grammar. But once we look to the quality and the essence of the knowledge, which to make us living the message, I feel we're too far. Too far, my dear brother in Islam and sister in Islam. By this way, please ask yourself, where are we from the people? We're going to hear about it now. And the diseases before Islam and the cure of Islam. Because if we've been cured, meaning if we living the message, we'll be free from all these diseases, meaning we'll have the quality, meaning we'll be the honor to be the custodian and the carrier of the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. By this way, I believe without no doubt, the time is very close of the touch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, to the one who called himself Muslim, because the majority of us left the message. Too far from the message, complaining and waving finger to other, and we forget ourselves. Today, my message to all of you, each one of us responsible, according to him or her, to their own level, whatever Allah give you of wealth, knowledge, and ability, you are responsible. My dear brother and sister in Islam, this is my message to you, and we'll go through the last period of time before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, introduction number 3, and we'll see the reality. And the reality, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam summarized it. He said of the meaning of, إن الله نظر إلى سكان العالم فمقتهم عربهم وعجمهم جميعا إلا بقايا من أهل الكتاب. And this authentic hadith of Sahih Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he said? He said, Allah, he looked to all mankind during this period of time, and he hid them all. Arabic people or non-Arabic people, except left over of the people of the book, the one they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the political status of the Arabic Peninsula. We said the Arabic Peninsula is called Shibh Jazirat al-Arab because almost like a big, huge island, but is not completed because it's surrounded by, from the east, the Gulf, from the south, Indian Ocean, and from the west, the Red Sea. We have in Yemen, all the way south, the king of Humayr and Hira, Al-Munadhara, Al-Ghassasina. This is the name of them. I'm just going to scan the history quick for you. And all these kings during this time, there was okay in the beginning. And after that, they deny the gift of Allah, Allah destroyed them. And for example, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said later on, لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَأْ فِي مَسَاكِنِهِمْ آيَةً. The Surah Sabah, chapter Sabah, verse 15, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, in a kingdom of Sabah, it was ayah, a sign of Allah. Allah give them all kind of treasure and all kind of farming and all kind of garden to the point People said they used to get a basket and just walk underneath the grape trees and the grape fall, the basket by itself. Unbelievable amount of blessing from Allah. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they become oppressor and aggressor and do not thank Allah. Allah destroyed them. Allah destroyed them, and the leftover of these people went north toward Syria area. And after that, you have Al-Adnaniyun, the one belong to Adnan, one of the seed of Ismail alayhi salam, which the one they stay in the Arabic Peninsula around Mecca area. And after that, we have another group of people around Mecca area completely from the people of Qasi ibn Kallab. This is the name. Different countries, different groups, different tribes. The Persian in the top, and Roman in the other side, and no real justice during this time. But the main thing is dhulm, oppression and aggression. And each one attack each other. And Quraysh was one of the most successful one around Mecca. And we're going to see what happened. Now, the status of the economy. We said it before. In South Yemen, they used to be in a very healthy, successful economy until they become aggression and do not thank Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them, finished. And what it leave? It leave leftover of the people in Arabic Peninsula having some sheep and animal, go from one valley to another according to the amount of rain, according to the season in different area in the desert. And that's it. They eat a little bit of grain with a little bit of meat, and this is all what they have. And you have Quraysh, like Allah mentioned in the Quran later on, they try to be a merchant between summer and winter, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them an easy life. And Allah commands them to thank Allah. Like in Surah Quraysh, chapter of Quraysh, verse 3 and 4. By this way, what we learn? The economy was very low, almost nothing. And we learn what happened to any nation of groups or individual if they do not thank Allah about what Allah gives them. Allah destroys them and Allah takes the ni'mah away. The gift of Allah is not forever. What controls the gift of Allah? The amount of thanks of us. And to be humble in humility and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we go to the status of the Arabic Peninsula during this time from social level. The social life is a mess. And we're going to summarize some of the bad quality of the Arabic Peninsula during this time. Social life, we said, is called jahiliyyah, ignorance. And what happened is, it's spreading of gambling. It's spreading of drinking. And even to be honored by having more drink, luxury drink. Three, what called nikah al-istibda'. When they look for a beautiful woman, and after she finish her menses, they gather the best men in the area, and all of them have intercourse with her with the intention to get the best seed. By this way, one woman, many, many men having a relationship in the same time with the intention to get the best seed. Number four, of their own bad quality or bad habits is take the girls when they are young, called Wa'd al-Banat, and bury them alive with the intention is to protect themselves from the curse, according to what they say, of the low honor or no honor, meaning the girl will go and do something and dishonor the family. Five, kill and bury the kids, boys or girls, when they have a drought or when they have a finance problem, to ease the burden of the family. Six, when a woman feels nice about herself and wants attention, she decorates herself, she show up herself, and go outside with the intention to attract people to her, meaning come do something with me. Seven, when the woman who are married again go and try to have a different relationship with different men. Eight, when the woman, if she want to have intercourse with money, she put a red flag in the front of her tent or her house, meaning she advertising. Nine, the strong tribalism from every aspect which generate a lot of injustice and generate war between the tribes. This is, I just summarize and scanning the history during this time. And many war happened for many years. Sometimes even one war can take hundreds and hundreds of years just for revenge between one tribe to another. And also arrogant, one of their own diseases in the social life during this time. The arrogance of the status, the arrogance of money, the arrogance of tribalism, the arrogance of nationalism, meaning I belong to so-and-so, I'm from tribe so-and-so, who you are, I'm better than you. And this also was one of the signs in the time of marriage or looking for marriage or looking for a relationship. I want you, when you hear all this, we have to ask ourselves where we are from all this. Because today I believe we have the same thing, but in different ways. It has a different name, different style. I'm going to summarize it for you. Now, in meantime, to be honest and reflect in honesty, they have also in Arabic Peninsula a bunch of very beautiful, good quality. What is that? Number one, they're famous with truthfulness. By this way, one of their good manner is to say the truth. They like it. They honor it. do to be generous. Arabic people very famous with generosity and to care about the guest. Three, to honor their word and honor their commitment. They used to consider it a big, important part of their life. The honor of the person's word and the honor of commitment. They prefer to die, but not disgrace their word or commitment, which is a very beautiful quality, which today we are really missing a lot of this. Four, to care about the neighbors and be good to them to the point to generate a coalition to protect each other. Five, be patient in a time of hardship. Six, the brave and strong in the truth, and whatever they believe, they're willing to do anything with it, and they become a very strong warrior. Seven, the honor and respect the forbidden months called Al-Ashhur Al-Hurum, the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in Quran about the months belong to the Hajj of the Kaaba and certain time was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell people not to cause aggression or war during this time. They honor that. And also, they used to honor and respect not to marry the mother and a daughter. And also one of their own good quality is to wash their body all the time and from the intercourse, and also to wash their mouth and their nose and use miswak and clean themselves after going to the bathroom and clean their nails and clean their hair underneath their arm and around the private part. And also the circumcision for the boys and very little for the girls sometime. And to cut the hand of the one who is stealing. And Hajj and Umrah. Pilgrimage to Mecca, to the Kaaba. This is some of the summary of the good deed and good qualities he used to honor and have. Now from here, we learn bad quality in any nation of any group, or the lack of good quality, and the spread of aggression and dhulm will end up with any nation or group will be destroyed by Allah. This is the sunnah. And any nation or any group hold tight to a good quality, as soon or later Allah will elevate. And also we know from here and we learn the absence of iman, faith, and the absence of knowledge, and the absence of good leader, okay, what it create? Chaos, mischief, and aggression and oppression, and innovation, and ignorance. Now, what about the spiritual believe during this time? During this time, you have a leftover of the son of Ismail alayhi salam, which is still a Muslim. What it meaning? They believe in one God, the oneness of the Creator. And this was a few leftover. And the majority of the people was in deep shirk. Shirk meaning association with Allah. And the beginning of that started with the statues, we talk about it, and the first one who bring it from the Syrian area was named Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i. When he traveled from Mecca to Syria, he found people having a statue, he bought some, he bring it back, and he was a really respected person, people respect him, and he make a lot of money, and after that, it become a habit of the Arabic people to respect the statue and make it as a cause of unity and helping the relationship between them and the Almighty. By this way, they still believe in Almighty, but they believe they cannot reach the Almighty until they come closer to the statue. By this way, the statue is almost like the junction for the relationship. And from that, they're generating a huge, big amount of a statue. And I'm going to share with you some of them quick. Is approximately major 16 one, which Sawa', Wad, Yaghuth, Ya'uq, Wanasr, Umaynas, Sa'd, Dhul Khalsa, Asif, Wana'ilih, Al-Awzay, Al-Lat, Munah, Falasbah, Ri'am, Ruda, and Dhul Ka'bat. This is some of the name of the statue, and each statue was toward one direction from the Kaaba. And they used to have a habit, before you go a trip, before you do any major thing in life, they used to go and touch the statue with the intention to gain blessing and ask the statue to do something for them. And again, we see what happened, because when we remember, this was the seed of the shaitan, the devil, from Nuh alayhi salam, if we remember it. And how the shaitan, the devil, always deceives the people. Today in the ummah, right now, you have something similar. Kul ubad al-qubur, the worshipper of the grave. When people, somebody is pious or somebody is good or supposed to be good, die, they build a big tomb. And people traveling from all over, going to this tomb, touch it, seeking blessing and seeking guidance and seeking support by the tomb and the owner of the tomb, which is a dead person. And this, from it spread a lot of diseases, a lot of ignorance, a lot of innovation during this time and until today. During this time, one of this innovation was generated. It's called Al-Bahira Wal-Sa'iba, Wal-Wasila Wal-Ham. Al-Bahira, which meaning a camel, you cut the ear and you leave it. Leave it, nobody to care about it. Meaning that's it, leave it. Except if a guest come, they give him a little bit of the milk of this particular animal. Wal-wasila, this is an animal or the sheep. It get pregnant and it has 5 female, and next pregnancy 5 female. At this time, they call it that, and they have their own belief about that, and after that, they have to eat everything. Anyway, I'm just sharing with you some of the bad habit and innovation they used to have. And they used to stand in Muzdalifah instead of Arafat. They used to believe, if you are dirty or a sinner, you cannot make tawaf around the Kaaba with your clothing, or if you have no good clothing. What it means? You take your clothes off. By this way, if you believe you are a sinner or a poor and you have no quality clothing, you cannot make tawaf around the Kaaba. And what happened during this time? They used to make tawaf completely naked around the Kaaba, male or female. This one of the also innovation they generate. And also they have something called al-istisqam bil-azlam. What it mean? If you're going to get married, or you have a major business, or a major trip in your life, you go to somebody specialized in that, and he gets 3 rocks. 1 rock corresponding my lord accept, and 1 rock corresponding my lord do not accept, and 1 rock just like that. If the rock came, my lord accept, he do. If the rock come, lord do not accept, he would not accept. And if the rock come empty, they repeat it again. By this way, before they do anything, they go and shake these rocks and make a choice. I'm just again give you a summary to show you the status of where they are, and we can compare of the status of where they are and the status of today. And they used to delay the time of Al-Ashhur Al-Hurum, the Hurum month, the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbidden fighting. They used to delay it some time for their own benefit. What we learn from that? We learn from that when the knowledge of the guidance go away, the people start going in their own stray. And when people go in stray, they innovate things to do. Today, we have what call check my palm, or read the coffee cup, or read the forehead, or to check the horoscope, or check the weather, check the stars, going to magician, using sihr, believe in a superficial feeling. By this way, if you ask me today, we have a lot of ignorant disease similar to the Arabic people before Islam, but has different title, different name. But when you look at it in detail, it is the same. What it meaning? It generate shirk, which association with the Almighty, and generate oppression and aggression. It generate arrogance. It generate disunity with Allah. It generate mischief in society, in all. And we have today a lot of cool Muslim in many, many countries. They do the same. To the point even, you have in the past, they used to call Kohen the people who know the unseen, according to them. Today we have corrupted shiuch, or call themselves shiuch, in different country. When you go to them, you pay them money, and they give you things to hold it, or to hang it in your neck, with the intention of protection, or to do something for you and put it underneath the below. All kind of nonsense and all of things is sihr, magic and voodoo, which is all this completely forbidden according to Islam. But we inherited some of this innovation from different people and from different groups of society. What about Christianity and Judaism? In Arabic Peninsula, we see we have leftover of people believe in Allah only, which is the seed of Ismail alayhi salam. The rest, they are worshipping a statue. And some of them used to worship stars. And we have, after that, some people follow, lift over Christianity and lift over Judaism, because Christianity came by one man who came to Arabic Peninsula, and he was a very pious man. His name is Faymun, and he was a very pious man, and people like him, and they follow him. And after that, again, innovation. And I'm trying to summarize it for you. And it spread, but not too much. And after that, Judaism came. And they took care about the Christian people. And they killed them. And some of them go to the Roman countries. And vice versa, in different time, when the Jewish people was oppressed in different areas, they came to Arabic Peninsula for the calmness and peace, and also to wait for the new messenger, they know he's coming. By this way, we know Christianity and Judaism was never exist in Arabic Peninsula, really exist. During this time, the amount of people enter Christianity and Judaism, they enter in the beginning, after that corruption, after that a lot of corruption, and again fighting, and again they flee in different area. During this time, it was a few people was really a real Muslim. Among them, a person named Sayyid ibn Amr ibn Nufayl, the one Rasulullah said, إِنَّهُ يُبْعَثْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. Allah will bring him in a day of judgment as a nation, because he was a man against all these odds, and he believed in Allah only. And everybody was against that. And a few people also, like Ubaidullah ibn Jahsh, ibn Ra'ab, Waraq ibn Nawfal, the one, he will become a Christian, and he died before Islam. And Uthman ibn al-Huwayrith. And this is the most four famous people was believing in the book, or they have a belief and a strong belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we learn in here? We learn in here in, during all this time, the majority of mankind and the majority of Arabic people during this time was in the chaos, ignorance, jahiliyyah, tribalism, mischief, no thanks. And we also learn a lot of disease during this time. This was continued for some time. And also we learn every time the earth or nation or a group go to to the level almost to be too low, Allah do not leave it alone. Either Allah destroy them, like the people of Saba in Yemen, or Allah will guide them and he sent guidance. And this will be the beginning of the light which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose to bring Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam later on in this particular area by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide mankind. Now, what we learn from that? We learn from that is, number one, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounty, to always seek guidance, to always seek knowledge, and to always be the carrier of guidance and knowledge, because if we do not do it, chaos and mischief spread. And I have to remind you, when all mankind today look at us as a cold Muslim, with all the diseases we have, what's the difference between us and the Arabic people before ignorance, before Islam? Isn't the same. But today we are worst. Why? We're supposed to have Islam. We know the message. We're supposed to have it. We have the Quran. We have the teaching of the Prophet. We have the look of the Muslim. We have the worship to Allah. Deep down inside, we believe in Allah. But what's missing? It's missing the quality of the Muslim. The quality of the Muslim, the quality Allah love. To be honest, not cheat. To keep your word. To be clean. To be neat. To spread justice. To spread kindness. To spread generosity. To spread good manner. To be clean, internal, external. And to care about others. And most of all, to carry the message, to be responsible, to be the carrier of the message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, because I believe the time is coming very close, because the amount of us who are living in a state of ignorance and causing mischief, I saw it in Arabic people, I saw it even in India, in different Arabic countries. When we have a maid, when we have some people poor working for us, we deal with them so bad, so bad, so low. Even it reminds me what I read in the books about the status before Islam. By this way, my dear brother and sister in Islam and non-Muslim, if you are a non-Muslim and listen to me, don't look at us. Read the message. Listen to the message. The message is correct. We the one we corrupt the message. We the one we make the message look bad. But let me give you good news. The message is not corrupt. It will never be corrupt. It is us. The message intact. The message is pure. It is exist. It is up to us to choose if we want to carry the message. And those who believe we have knowledge, or you have knowledge, where is the character of the knowledge? Where is the sacrifice of the knowledge? Where is the manner of the knowledge? Where is the rahmah and the mercy of the knowledge? And for all of us, do we can complain about anything? Or we should be in a state of thanks and content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? None of us should complain. And this is the quality of the Muslim. The Muslim always thanks to Allah, content with Allah. My dear brother and sister in Islam, time is short. We have a very short time. What time will happen? Where it happen? What will happen? We're not sure. But I can share with you one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his sunnah is coming. Either we correct ourselves and seek guidance and spread the guidance, or the torture of Allah will come, because Allah do not like that. We have a job, we have a duty. All of us is responsible in the front of Allah. Each one responsible according to what he can do and cannot do. And we need to do our best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open for all of us and guide us and give us the quality Allah will be pleased with. The quality which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look at us and accept us to be the carrier of the light of Allah, the guidance of Allah. And this was a glimpse, a snapshot of the status of the Arabic Peninsula before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. I did it as a duty to share with you, to compare, to think, to stop as an individual, as a group, and said where we are. Because we are really, again, in a very desperate status or a state and a time to generate a real awareness and awakeness call, internal and external, and spread the right knowledge with the right manner, with the right attitude, with the right heart, with the right belief, with the right character, the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love and be pleased with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those to be the spreader and the carrier of the message, not be the enemy of the message. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept me and accept all of those who listen to guide us all to His path, to His light, to His mercy, to the message of Allah, the oneness of Allah, and the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was session number 4 of the introduction to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam biography. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us and put barakah and nur and qabul in it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decorate us with the quality He loves and make us among those who are true and sincere and honest. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, may Allah accept, may Allah accept. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma taqabbal, Allahumma taqabbal, Allahumma taqabbal. اللهم ضع البركة والنور والقبول فيما نفعل وفيما نقول واجعلنا هداة مهديين غير ضالين أو مضلين أو فاتنين أو مفتونين أو مبدلين أو مبتدعين بفضلك وجودك وكرمك وإحسانك يا رب العالمين وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.